Well, I want to pray before we begin our Torah study, but I also want us tonight to take some time to pray for Ukraine, and I want to give you an update on some things that are happening there. So please join me. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. In this week's Torah portion, we see how important turnarounds are for breakthroughs. People can be headed in the wrong direction, and it can lead to all sorts of trouble, but it's possible to make a turnaround. Think about where Israel was when Moses was up on the mountain receiving the commandments from the Lord. Israel was making a golden calf. Israel was in despair. Israel was lacking in faith and lacking in expectation about God watching over them and wondering, would Moses even return? There was a great deal of uncertainty, and they found themselves falling into idolatry and trusting in themselves and even the works of their hands rather than trusting in the Lord. But things turned around for Israel, and I want you to understand that it wasn't just because it was inevitable that it turned around. It turned around because Moses stood in the gap. Moses started by really responding to the heart of God and understanding the despair of God towards Israel about Israel's fall, because God had such great plans for Israel and such great love. Some of you can identify with this because you've had people in your life who have brought despair to you, and they've broken your hearts because you've seen that they weren't going in the direction that would bring blessing. They were going in another direction. Moses saw this, and he took it to heart, and he prayed, and he asked God to show mercy to Israel. And you see, this is a key for intercession. It's to pray for mercy, to pray for God's victory of mercy, his triumph of mercy over judgment. We deserve punishment so many times, but God is wanting to spare us. If he only wanted to punish us, we'd already have been defeated. We'd all be smoke and ashes already. Moses began to pray. Moses stood in the gap, and it was an investment of his own heart, of his time. And he had to take this position: God, I know what you want to do with Israel, and I want to be part of that. God even gave him an offer that he could start all over without Israel, just with Moses and his family, and let Moses, in a sense, be another Noah with whom all things start over. But Moses was not open to that. You see, Moses knew that God had a plan for Israel, and Moses had a heart for Israel too. If you are going to help other people make a turnaround, you've got to have a heart for them. You've got to want their success. You've got to see where they could be, not where they are. And it's not always easy, is it? There are times, I mean, for ourselves even, it's difficult to make turnarounds sometimes, because we can get stuck in where we are and we forget that God is able to get us out of the trouble that we're in. You may be in trouble because somebody got you in trouble. You may be in trouble because you got yourself in trouble. I used to think that the Lord could rescue me from other people and from the devil, but he couldn't really rescue me from me. And I thought, if I'm responsible for the trouble I'm in, I just got to live with it. But you know what? The scripture says our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And he wants to rescue us. And that's part of the story of Israel that we're reading. That he saw Israel go astray, but he wanted Israel back. If you want to be involved in spiritual turnarounds for other people, you've got to want them back. You've got to want them not just back to where they were in the old condition they were in. You don't want to just go back to the status quo where things weren't good. You've got to want them back so that they can move forward. You've got to have an attitude of kadima for other people, to see what's possible for them, to hope for them, and to know that God has something good. If you go before the Lord and you're praying in a wishy-washy, apathetic, unconcerned, detached way, and you just say, well, Lord, whatever you want, that's too disengaged. He wants us to care about those he cares about. He wants us to take a position. Imagine, I like to challenge guys to express love to their wives. Imagine you just looked at your wife and you said, you know, I'm happy that you exist. You don't win a lot of points that way, do you? That doesn't build a lot of intimacy. Or what if God's attitude towards us was like that? You know what's terrific? That you are a human being and that you be. No, he knows your name. He knows the days that have been appointed for you. He knows how you were made because he was knitting you together in your mother's womb. He knows the plans and the purposes he has for you, all the good. He's not detached. He's not disengaged. He is a God who cares about us, and he is passionate for us and expects us to be full of life and vigor and full of motivation regarding others as well. Today I'm absorbed with what's happening in Ukraine. Sandy and I started working in Ukraine back in 1994, and we lived in Kiev for a number of years. We spent much of our life in Ukraine. There are many people in Ukraine who we love. And we have had a number of Messianic rabbis from Ukraine here so that they could connect with you and you with them. And I want to show you a map of Ukraine tonight. You see the green of Ukraine. It's just below Russia. And this is Europe, incidentally. Some of you may be geographically challenged. We're looking at Europe. And we're going to post this on Facebook and some other places so that people can just get a picture of that part of the world. So you see Ukraine, it's a substantial country in terms of size. And then I want to show you another map. And we have three arrows here to locate the cities where those three Messianic rabbis who have been visiting us come from. So if we start with the left, that arrow is pointing towards Odessa, which is on the Black Sea. Odessa is historically known as a Jewish city, and it is colloquially called Mama. You know what the Big Apple is in America? Who knows? New York, that's right. Well, Mama is Odessa. And then the next city is Nikolaev. In Ukrainian, it's Mykolaiv. The M is an N. And it is an important city. It was a shipbuilding city for the Soviet Navy. And it was a closed city for many years. It's a city in some turmoil right now because the whole shipbuilding industry has collapsed and there's very little enterprise taking place. It is also the birthplace of the Chabad Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Schneerson. He was born there, not in Israel, incidentally. And then the one on the right is Yevpatoria, and this is in Crimea, which is an area of great challenge right now, which we'll talk about in a minute. So Odessa is where Rabbi Alexander Papazov and his congregation are. Nikolaev is where Rabbi Yuri and Ina Korshin are. And Yevpatoria is where Rabbi Victor Valensky is. And we got good news yesterday that Rabbi Victor and his wife Nadia will be visiting us in July after Messiah Conference. So they will be coming here. So I show this to you because I want you, let's go back to the previous slide if we can. Do you see where Russia is? So Ukraine is in turmoil right now. It's been going through great changes and challenges. And how many of you have been following the news? Just show, let me see a show of hands so that I see how many of you have, at least you're aware of what's going on. So yesterday we talked, Sandy and I spent an hour on video Skyping with Rabbi Yuri and Ina Korshin and with Victor Valensky talking about the situation. And I want to share with you some of their perspectives and then share with you some things that are happening just in the last few hours that are important, and then we'll pray and we'll tie this in as well to the scriptures. So Rabbi Yuri said that he went up to Kiev during some of the difficult times and to Maidan. And at Maidan, there were many anti-Semitic signs and slogans. And he said on many occasions, he saw posters and graffiti that said, "Kill the Jews." The leaders of the protest who came from Western Ukraine have as part of their alliances a number of ultra-nationalist groups and anti-Semitic groups. And so even though the government of Ukraine was corrupt and Yanukovych was not a good guy by any means, the Jewish people are equally afraid, or maybe more afraid, of the Western Ukrainians who had historically sided with Nazis and other anti-Semitic groups. And so there is a sense of danger that the Jewish people are feeling. On one hand, the Jewish people, of course, want democracy. On the other hand, they are concerned as to how things can turn. And there is not a great deal of confidence among the Jewish people about the direction of that some of the people want to take the country in. So that's one side, and you won't hear that on the American news very much. One of the reasons is this line of thinking doesn't appeal to Western journalists. We saw the same thing in Syria. You know that the leaders of Syria were corrupt and criminal in many ways. But what you may not have known early on was that the opposition was even in some ways more dangerous because they included Al-Qaeda. And so the idea of overthrowing one regime for another sounds good, but it's not always that good or that easy. And when you drive out one side, you give room to the other side. So you've really got to know who you're dealing with. Most Americans don't tend to know who we're dealing with. We say, democracy. You know, we love democracy. And if anybody says they love democracy, we love them too. We're on their side. Well, there are a lot of dangerous people who pretend to be concerned for democracy, but they don't have an understanding of minority rights and a variety of other things, due process, etc. So if you were following the Russian press the last few weeks, you would have heard about the anti-Semites and the ultra-nationalists and the far right, who the Russians are saying are a danger to Ukraine and to the Russians. How many of you were reading the Russian press and seeing? Okay. Okay. So some of you are from the former Soviet Union. You should be reading that too. And then you have to balance it out, and you have to say, okay, now who is speaking, truthfully, and who's speaking just their propaganda. Well, in any case, there really is a problem in Ukraine. It's not a simple solution. And there really are, there are Jewish people and there are people of Russian ethnicity who are concerned for the direction that the new government and the protesters who are part of that opposition want to take it. Now, was Yanukovych a crook? It seems that everyone can agree on that, because the only question is, how much did he steal? You know, was it, the high number is $70 billion, which is essentially all of Ukraine's wealth right now. And I don't know what the low number is. Having said that, having a bad guy in power doesn't mean good guys are on the other side. That's why it's so complicated. And in talking to Rabbi Yuri and talking to Rabbi Victor, what's really clear is the Jewish people in Ukraine are nervous because there is instability and it's unclear what's going to happen next. And believe it or not, while the ultra-nationalist anti-Semites were boldly declaring their, you know, their opposition to the government, some of them were meeting with other journalists and saying it's the Jews who are leading the revolution, just to blame the Jews, you know, for something. It's that crazy. Well, the whole situation is very complicated because within the country there's not clear vision. Ukraine, I don't know if it's unique in this regard, but I think it's true that the Ukrainian people know what they're against, but they're not perfectly clear about what they're for. And so there's a kind of lack of vision, and then there's anarchy as well. And in that anarchy, there is a vacuum that's being filled with local militia groups, to the point where Rabbi Yuri was telling us that he doesn't want Ina to go out at night because no one knows what's going to happen these days. This is in a safe city. And parents are not letting their children walk to school alone, as they always have, because there are armed protesters forming militia groups who are attacking their opposition, whomever they may be. That situation is quite volatile. And in the instability and in the division, there's great danger. We prayed with for the Messianic rabbis according to Jeremiah chapter 23, where God promises to raise up shepherds for his people. And he says, chapter 23, verse 4, I'll set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they will not be afraid anymore. And they won't be dismayed, and neither will they be missing. And so what we hope for is that the Messianic rabbis in Ukraine will be able to effectively help their people press into God for their safety and security at a time like this, and not just give in to fear and worry about the instability. Now, let's go back to the second slide. Because you see that, do you see Crimea? It's that the bottom, there's the bottommost arrow pointing towards the right. That, it almost looks like an island, but it's connected to the mainland. And that is Crimea, which had been historically Russian ethnically, and also it had Muslims, Tatars, and it has another group of people who, not great numbers, but I've got to think of what their name is. The Karim, Karaites, we would call them. These were Jewish people who separated from the rest of the Jewish community because they didn't believe in rabbinic Judaism, the Talmud, and oral law. And they have thriving communities there in Crimea. Well, that zone of Crimea, that area also includes a Russian naval base. And what we heard coming over this evening. I don't know if any of you were tuned into the news from 6:30 on, but President Obama called a short press conference because the word that the White House wanted to communicate was that Russia needed to back off because Ukraine is saying that there has been an armed invasion already of several thousand Russian troops, tanks, helicopters, and a variety of other things. And right before I got here, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee announced that Russia now controls the peninsula of Ukraine. It's not that they're present, it's that they now have it under their control. And so this is potentially an extremely dangerous situation. And I'm telling you all of this because we need to be praying. Moses understood something about the hope and the future of Israel. Not according to their failings. Do you get that? But according to God's vision for them. Now, God has a heart for Ukraine. There are warring factions that want to divide it up. It may end up being broken into pieces. It may not survive being one country. That is surely possible. But within Ukraine are many God-fearing people, God-loving people, and it's a nation that can be used by God, but it needs peacemakers within it, and it needs vision, and it needs people who learn to make unity together instead of division. They're short in this area. In the body of Messiah, they're short there in these perspectives. Well, I want you to join me in taking concern for Ukraine. Rabbi Yuri and Ina will be coming here as soon as our government finishes the paperwork for them. They will be moving here and becoming part of our ministry team. Sandy and I have lived in Ukraine, like I said, and we have a heart for Ukraine. Now, some of you have a heart too. And if God's ever caused you to pray for Ukraine, would you mind standing up for a minute? Just stand up with me if you've ever prayed for Ukraine. Good. Okay. Now, if you want to join us, if you're the ones who haven't ever prayed for Ukraine, here's your chance. Let's pray right now. Lord, we lift up the nation of Ukraine to you. We lift up the country. We pray for peacemakers to rise up. We pray for men and women of sincere vision who can unite the country around something positive and not just something negative. We pray, Lord, for the outpouring of true vision upon leaders in the body of Messiah in Ukraine. And we pray that they could turn away from their old habits of just trying to find who's guilty and punishing them. They need more than that. They need healing. They need reconciliation. Lord, I pray about the conflict that's emerging right now. I pray about the danger that is being manifest right now and the instability. And we ask God that you would drive out the spirit of division and the warring spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would even purge the country of its anti-Semitism, of its ultra-nationalism that despises the Jews and has hostilities of so many kinds. Lord, we ask for a breakthrough for Ukraine. And Lord, we lift up as well the people of Russia and the government of Russia. And we ask, God, that you would put quiet in their hearts and their souls, that they would be committed to protecting the integrity of the borders of Ukraine and its sovereignty, and that they would not divide and plunder or try to steal Ukraine. And Lord, we lift up Yanukovych, who is claiming that he is still president, and we pray that you would just deal mercifully but justly with him. And that what he has done that is criminal, he would be held accountable for. We pray, Lord, that you would turn this situation around. We ask for victory. If you can do it for Israel, you can do it for other nations too. Lord, I pray for us that we would have a heart of intercessors, that we would invest ourselves in seeking the good of others by praying to you, by staying informed and by staying spiritually informed, drawing close to you and learning what's important to you. Fill our hearts up, fill our minds up with the understanding of the Lord, that we would know how to pray. And Lord, help us so that we would be alert, that we would stand as watchmen in these historical hours. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just close by taking a very quick look at some of the things that are mentioned in the Torah portion. We'll look at it more carefully tomorrow and maybe in the weeks ahead. But there's a very interesting statement that is in Exodus chapter 39. If you have your Bibles, you can open up. And it's in the surrounding chapters as well. But when you're thinking about Israel and you're thinking about this moment in time and how Israel had gone away from God, if you will, with the sin of the golden calf, and now was coming back, and how it was that they came back, think about it. They came back because of the intercession. They came back because God was wanting them back. They came back because there was a purging and a cleansing and a call for repentance. And then they came back because they actually got a hold of vision. There was a call from the Lord to build the house of the Lord and to receive terumah offerings, special offerings for the building of the house. And those offerings included gold and silver and bronze. And the people brought them. And when you think about where they were before, what were they doing with the gold before? They made an idol. Now the gold is being used to serve God. And it's according to the vision that God has, not according to their man-made and defeated and erroneous understandings of idolatry. So when you look at the work that they did, in chapter 39 of Exodus, it tells us that they brought everything to completion. And it uses this phrase, as the Lord had commanded, 19 times in this week's reading. It is the most common theme that we're going to come across. So Exodus 39, verse 42, it says, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. They completed the work in what manner? As the Lord had commanded. God had a vision. He showed it to Moses. Moses conveyed it to Israel, and Israel embraced what God had revealed. And so 19 times in this week's reading, it emphasizes this. Israel did what the Lord had commanded. And you know what that shows us? It was a turnaround. Do you remember when Israel was standing at Sinai early on? And they said, all the Lord has said we will do. And that was big talk, wasn't it? But it was really little faith. It was just, it did not reflect the reality of what they were prepared to do. And within weeks, they'd made idols against what God had said. Verse 43, then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it. Now, you may have heard this saying, where there are two Jews, there are three opinions. Because we are an opinionated people. Can you understand the miracle that the Jewish people experienced? It was a miracle of unity and faithfulness, doing what God said to do. They not only blundered earlier, they were transgressing and sinning against God, but now they're obedient to the Lord. And you see something like this again at Shavuot and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when the disciples, 120, were together in the upper room for some time, and they were of one mind and one spirit. They had that kind of unity. Unity in the Spirit is one of the most powerful things that God can convey to us. This week's reading reflects that unity, and I want to underline that for you, so that as you're studying the passages this weekend and in the days ahead, you really take notice of this, that unity is precious to God. As the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and it says the work was completed. But I want you to understand, even though the work was completed, there was more to do, because the vision that God had given was not just the vision of a tabernacle, but of a temple in Jerusalem. And so there's generations of work yet to do. And then it tells us in Exodus 40, and this is the thought that we're going to close with, verse 34 and 35, that the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Compare that to what was going on with the golden calf. There was no presence of God with the people at that moment. But here, the same people have made a turnaround. Do you see it? And now, instead of just going their way according to their understanding, they're receiving vision from the Lord, and they're acting faithfully, and they're unified in it. They're not divided. They're not bickering. They're not arguing over who ought to do what or how it ought to be done. They're receiving assignments. And you know what comes together with that kind of working relationship of unity? The presence of God and the power and the glory of God. That's the message. You see, God's attracted to people who walk in unity together, who consider it a precious value. He's attracted to people whose hearts yearn for that kind of unity, who want to be at peace with each other and want to show love to each other and want to be reconciled to each other. God's presence comes down. That's the message. His presence comes down to those people, where before they were going in the wrong way, now they're going in his way. What a turnaround. You can't make God do what you want to do, but he will come to you when you'll do what he wants to do, and he'll bless you. He'll pour out blessings you can't imagine. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. I want to pray for Ukraine, that we'll have that kind of heart. Not finding fault with each other, but finding the good in each other. Finding unity by working together for common good. Not arguing, not being divisive, not being so opinionated, but finding the good in one another. Recognizing the value that God places on each of us. Taking each other to heart, preferring one another, and serving the Lord by serving together. If we do that, you know what? The presence of God will come strongly wherever we do it. Every time and every place where we do that, the blessings of God will accompany us. Lord, we thank you that you are one God, and you've called us to be one in Messiah. You've called us to be united in you, not according to our taste or our ethnicity, but according to your kingship and your fatherhood. You have purchased us. We belong to you, and we are now your family. And Lord, I pray that we would love one another even as you have loved us. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasam lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua. And may his peace be poured out upon the people of Ukraine, we ask in the name of Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom.